Welcome to Deconstructed. I'm TJ O'Hara, the principal political analyst for IVN, the Independent Voter News. Our goal on Deconstructed is to break down important political issues with outstanding guests so you can develop your own more informed opinion. My guest today is Michael Maxeny, co-host of the podcast Front and Center and an advisor to the new Common Sense Party of California. Mr. Maxeny has been actively involved in political initiatives for over a decade. For example, he was the co-founder of Rebellious Truths, a nonprofit organization that focused on engaging and educating young Americans in our political process. He also has extensive experience in the private sector, ranging from being the youngest division president for a major corporation to being the owner of a successful publishing company. Since selling that company, Mr. Maxeny's passion has centered around the world of politics and trying to fix what's broken. We'll talk about what his podcast does in that regard and the breakthrough the Common Sense Party of California is trying to achieve. So without further ado, welcome to Deconstructed, Mike.
Thanks, TJ. It's great to be here with you.
Mike, what's a nice guy like you doing in the world of politics?
Well, to make it simple, if you remember back in the recession of 2008-09, you know, I was looking around, I was turning 60 and looked around at what was happening to our nation, and I was in conversations with people who I was a godfather to their son, and realizing that we couldn't talk together. People who even loved each other, knew each other well for so many years, could not talk to each other. And so I made a commitment that, like my father had signed up for the duration of World War II, many of my friends went off to Vietnam, many of them didn't come back, and those who did often weren't whole ever again. And I looked at it, and here I was, 60, and had evolved into a very privileged lifestyle with the success and the money that came from the business. And I decided that it was time for me to give back and to serve. And I told my then girlfriend, now wife, Kelly, that starting tomorrow, I was going to get up an extra hour early and try to figure out what in the world was going on here in our nation. Why couldn't people talk together? Why weren't these major issues being resolved? Why so many good people were suffering? So that's what got me started on it. And little did I know that here I am 12 years later, continuing, and I'm assuming I'm going to be in this as long as the God be willing and I've got my health.
You have a new podcast, Front and Center. What's the podcast about, and who do you typically have as guests?
Well, the podcast is technically, we've added the names with Stephen Michael. It's Front and Center with Stephen Michael, so if people are looking it up. But the podcast was originally conceived of, okay, we're going to break through at some point, hopefully very soon, the duopoly, the stranglehold on our political system, to free it up, to get it to function again. But just doing that, how are we going to govern? How are we truly going to be different? How are we going to contribute to breaking this cycle of domination of one group, party, culture, or whatever over others? How are we going to break that? This cycle has been going on for, depending upon archaeologists and anthropologists, somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 years, and we continue these cycles. So the podcast was about starting off originally with the first 9 conversations. It started off thinking it was only be 7, are to discuss what are the types of principles? How can we create unity without uniformity? How can we create unity with diversity? How can we help us move from an age of separation to an age of reunion so that we can truly govern in a way that will recognize the level of consciousness that civilization, our culture in particular, has evolved to, and how then to put that into practice? And that's parallel to my commitment to the Common Sense Party, which I see as a vehicle to get the breakthrough, to contribute to the breakthrough of the two-party system here in California, to contribute to what's going on nationally, but specifically to California.
And what about the guests?
The type of guests we had, so the first 9 guests were basically about principles. What are the kinds of principles of developing kinship, of seeking the whole truth together, these kinds? So the first conversations were all about that. Then with the last conversation, we now have shifted gears. Now we're going to go into the political. So we just did a conversation with the chairman and key founder of the Common Sense Party, Tom Campbell, which we labeled the uncommonly sensible way to get government on the side of the people. And that's what we're about what my personal commitment is. How do we get government on the side of the people?
Mike, you mentioned there's an overlap with the Common Sense Party, and you're starting to explore that now. And you mentioned Tom Campbell. So he's one of the founders, if not the founder. Share with my audience a little bit of Tom's background.
Wow. Tom is an amazing individual, and I think he's perfectly suited. And behind, he's embarrassed by this, and I only do it occasionally behind the scenes, call him R. George. Tom Campbell started off as a tenured professor of law at Stanford, then became the dean of the Haas Business School at Berkeley. He was then asked to come into the politics. He worked as the California Director of Finance. He then ran for Congress and was a five-term U.S. congressman from Silicon Valley. He then, after losing the U.S. Senate race, he decided to retire from politics and was invited to come down and be the founding dean of the Fowler School of Law at Chapman University here in Orange. So he and his wife, Suzanne, moved from their home in Silicon Valley down here to Southern California. And that was in, I believe, 2011. He opened up the school. And then he is the real kernel of the founding of the Common Sense Party. And he brought in a few other people that became the real core seed group to the founding of the Common Sense Party. And Tom, of all the people I've had the pleasure of working with from corporate levels, from American Standard and Nissan and others, Tom is one of the most humble, understanding, open-minded, compassionate leaders I've ever, both in business or in politics, I've ever been around. And he had a reputation both in Congress back in Washington and in Sacramento that the only person who would equal his reputation, and he was never in an elected office, would be David Walker, your guest that you had on just two episodes ago. Tom Campbell's reputation is for incredible integrity to his principles. He's very open and welcoming of all. Tom is an incredible human being, and I'm honored to be now part of that core leadership, founding leadership team of the party for the last 2.5 years.
When were the wheels put in motion for the Common Sense Party?
Well, Tom came up with the original concept behind the Common Sense Party. It started formulating in 2016. He then resigned his position as dean and stepped down, where he currently still teaches law and macroeconomics at Chapman University. Then he reached out to some others that he had met while working at the state of California here in the executive branch, and to people like Quentin Kopp, who is the foremost original independent politician in California's history, I believe, and others that were key people from business development communications who worked inside the administration for Pete Wilson that he had worked with. So that's where it started. And then I was approached to join them after I met Tom back in 2012 when I was doing Rebellious Truths, and I was very impressed with him then. But I was invited to join into the leadership group in 2018 by one of the other founders whose name for his purposes I'll leave private. But I said, no, thank you. I was focused on the national effort. As you know, TJ, I was working with David Walker and others on national pressure points to break through. But then it hit me that all this national work, and Ross Perot, I had the pleasure of working on a project that he funded with David Walker. But I realized it's something that Elon Musk was doing. And as I watched what he was doing in the aerospace industry and what he'd done in the automotive industry, a famous quote from Buckminster Fuller that a friend had shared with me many years ago struck me that said, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. And that stuck with me. And then I realized is what the Common Sense Party, what they were doing actually was the next adjacent possible step that must be accomplished and can be accomplished. And that's where when they reached out to me in 2018, I first said no. Then by 2019, when they first launched the website, I was sent a link to it and a note and said, check this out. Would you reconsider joining us? And I did. And that's when that quote from Buckminster Fuller hit me. And I decided, you know what? This is truly the adjacent possible next doable step that we can and must do on this path to breaking through. And California, which I'm a second generation Californian, People had asked me, why am I focused on national when our state was degenerating? I mean, when I was a child growing up here and all the way up until the last 20 years or so, California exemplified the future, what people wanted to aspire to, strive to. And so the reality was that if we could make California, break through here and make California an example of a new type of political organization that then could be modeled and influenced both the D's and R's and others, but helpfully modeled to other new party formations around the country of a new way to approach governance that truly does bring in not just the voices of, but truly brings into the system a way to come to finding solutions that truly will deal with the significant issues of our time.
That's perfect. And back in the day, I don't know if you remember, but when I was starting in politics, I was writing political satire, and my alias was the Common Sense Czar. So I'm honored that you would even start a political party named after me, but we're going to take a quick break.
Oh, Thomas Paine had something to do with the name.
Well, Mike, we're going to take a quick break and talk more about the Common Sense Party of California when we come back. Welcome back. My guest today is Michael Maxenti, an advisor to the interesting new Common Sense Party of California and co-host of the podcast Front and Center. Mike, you were giving us the basis for the Common Sense Party. How is it different?
Let me start with, it's even hard for us to put the term, or for me, and each of us will in the leadership group, and there's basically six core people. First off, we look at what we're doing as being the seed to a new type of political party, and we hate that word party because of what it connotes based on how other parties currently are structured, all based upon orthodoxy and adherence to orthodoxy. We're basically the opposite of that. We're based on principles and recognition that every individual has a unique set of beliefs. And what we're looking for is to create a platform to allow the diversity of thought, the diversity of consciousness to be brought into the political process with no adherence to orthodoxy, but adherence to principles. And I summarize the principles quite simply in integrity. We've defined it on the website in our other publications as ROI, responsible, open, and inclusive, but definitions beyond just the simplicity of responsible, open, inclusive that go into a little more depth about what the meaning of those are. So integrity to me, in the way I define it, is that people can count on what you say. And what we have observed for the citizens of our nation for many, many years, and it's been growing with each election cycle, that those politicians, nearly all of them, tell us every election cycle everything we want to hear, or our constituents, and the partisan constituents in particular they focus on, because that's how they get through the primaries and get elected, is they focus on the primary issues that are important to their constituents. They tell us everything we dream about, everything we want. And then they go off and govern and never deliver on any of it. They only then go off and sell their votes or rent their votes to the special interest, to the highest bidder, so that they can enrich themselves and grow their control and power and keep their jobs. They get reelected in inordinate relationship to the performance. And so how we're different is we're focused on principles. We want people of high integrity who've demonstrated with their life's work, not their words, but their deeds, that an adherence to the principles of truly being open, responsible, and inclusive, and really committing themselves into service for our nation and our citizens, not the special interests or the leadership of a party. So how do we do that? And that's where people have asked, why don't we don't have all this big structure built? And I'll say to them, is we're just the seed of this idea of how to bring forth this. But as we launch and become certified, the DNA of our members will organically produce the type of organization that will allow for this diversity of thought to come through. True diversity without uniformity. True diversity that creates unity, though, with kinship and compassion for each other. And so that's one of the key things that will differentiate us is we have no litmus test based on orthodoxy. The only thing that can become a platform issue is when it achieves at least 75% of all the voting members' concurrence. But even if we have a platform issue that has reached that level of concurrence, it still does not say you have to agree to it. That's up to the constituents of whatever office you're running for to decide that they want you in your totality of who you are to represent their best interests versus someone else. It's not a litmus test, even if it makes it to the platform, that you have to, quote, adhere to. Currently, the orthodoxy of the Democrats and Republicans have a list of items that you have to adhere to, or they will take your funding away and give it to an opponent in the next primary and you'll be gone. So you have to be lockstep with the leadership. When they tell you to vote X way, you must do it or you're going to be gone. So we have some key structural. So did that make that clear for you, TJ, and for hopefully our audience?
That's excellent, Mike. You know, you bring up another point. You're a very principled party, to use the word party, but we have parties today that we're used to who try and use the argument, we're not going to sell out relative to principles, which is why they can't compromise. How does your party look at compromise in politics?
Well, first off, the word compromise has become a dirty word, but truly the best solutions are often come through collaboration, and collaboration leads to understanding and rehumanizing others. And when you rehumanize your quote opponent and realize that they're connected to you and they're technically a relative of yours, you now can move hopefully to a level of partnership where you're will design solutions to issues that will be seen by both as a win. May not be the exact way I would have wanted it, but I can live with the path to get to the solution because the end solution is something that we both share. So the path to the solution is kind of irrelevant as long as it leads to the solution that will be seen as fair and it will solve it and be sustainable over time. So we want and think that the best ideas come from true dialogue where people listen deeply, understand why someone thinks the way they do, and you seek the whole truth together to find a solution to a problem.
Now, the party has expressed its approach as responsible, reasoned, collaborative, efficient, prudent, transparent, and inclusive. How does it mirror that in its actions?
Well, that's what we're trying to do with everything we do, is to be an example of what we do. You left out one key word, compassion. And that's an important understanding, is that it's not just data driven, et cetera, but it's also compassionately driven to help our fellow humans, our fellow citizens, hopefully in everything we do. That's why you won't see a whole lot of detail on any issues on the website. Now, we've left the website intact from the way it was originally launched and just added a few tweaks. We were going to and are planning to, as soon as we get certification, and we may now do it sooner, to revamp the whole website and go into more ways to exemplify those areas of responsible, open and inclusive, et cetera, that you mentioned. But right now, the reason we don't have a lot there and we don't do a lot is because until we have the membership's ability to vote, which we're in the process of working on some software with some software developers and stuff so that we can have what we'll call advisory voting, so that anyone who wants to participate at any level that is a member of our party can contribute their ideas, their thoughts, and their votes to help direct the leadership of the party or candidates that we recommend or endorse of what our members feel about an issue. And that's one of the important things, is soon as we have the opportunity, which will come very soon, we're going to launch some software that will begin this process of engaging all of those who we like to think of as the rest of us, those who've been left out of the process, to become participants in shaping solutions.
Mike, we're going to take another quick break and talk more about the Common Sense Party of California when we come back. Welcome back. My guest today is Michael Maxenti, an advisor to the interesting new Common Sense Party of California and co-host of the podcast Front and Center. Mike, we were talking about the Common Sense Party, and there's a difference between you and everyone out there just in name only, because right now you're the Common Sense Party of California. Is it going to remain that way? Are you singularly going to be focused on California, or are you going to expand at some point in time, and why?
Well, we're singularly focused on California for the reason that there's some structural advantages in California that allow us to have this opportunity to get into the playing field that everyone else has been blocked out of by the two parties. And every party has turned into a single party state, whether it's a D or an R. In California, we're trying to take advantage of, in 2024 and 2026, guaranteed over half of the 120 seats in our state legislature will term out, leaving them as open seats, so that then we can take advantage of another structural entity, which is top two primary system. A lot of people have disparaged top two, but top two gives us a unique opportunity here in the state of California. It has been adopted in Maine and Louisiana, subsequent to being first here. But what a top two does is allows an independent thinking person, and that person may maintain the label of D, R, L, or G, or be, in California, they're called no party preference, NPP. But it allows in the primary, which we call a jungle primary, is referred to by many, you can have 20 candidates from all of these different parties and not endorsed candidates. The top two vote getters there then face off in the general election. So the primaries in June, the general election in November. So that gives them a time now. It's a focus on just two entities. So in California, as in many states, we have, because of gerrymandering and other reasons, we have many, many districts that are either what we call double D or double R. That means there's a Democrat endorsed candidate, and the person who comes in second place in the jungle primary is a person who wants to carry the Democratic label, but they have not gotten the endorsement of the party. They're not the chosen one. They're not the one who has accepted the money and the organizational support from the leadership. So those type of individuals we are going to be looking for. We only need to get elected in the state of California in the assembly. There's 80 seats in the assembly. 7 or 8 independent-minded, open people. They can carry a D or an R label, but they cannot have accepted the money from the leadership, because once they accept the money, they're now under their control to get reelected by them, and they must do and adhere to that orthodoxy. So the person who is the non-endorsed D or R or an independent candidate, or like I said earlier, they could be a Libertarian or a Green Party, that doesn't matter. We will help them get elected. And once we become a certified party, we will be able to deal with the third opportunity here in California, once we become a party, which is to level the economic playing field. The way they have built this state political campaign laws is it gives a party endorsed candidate an almost 10-to-1 financial advantage over anyone who's not the endorsed candidate. An example of that is an individual that you have that wants to support you and has the means to give you as much as $50,000. Well, if you're independent or not the endorsed candidate, state law limits your individual donation to their campaign at $4,600. But you can then turn around and write a check to the party, designating it the funds to go to you, the candidate of their choice, another $44,900. So you can basically get from a well financially endowed friend of yours, they could basically give you $50,000 versus only giving you $4,600 as an individual if you don't have a party mechanism with you. So we want to take advantage of the term limits in 2026 and 2024 that give us this opportunity for open seats, where there's going to be a higher propensity of double D or double R people running into the finals, help level that playing field economically for them. And the top two tier gives us the ability to get to November, and it's a direct face-off from our independent thinking candidate versus the establishment candidate, if you will. And that's where California is unique and gives us this opportunity here in California to break through the single party control of our state and break through with independent thinking people so that we can open up the process in California and force the dominant party to take away their monopoly control and start to level the playing field and open up the process to get more and more independent thinking people representative of the rest of us elected in office and begin to deal in a new way with these significant issues.
Mike, there are a myriad of parties that think they're going to be the one that's going to make the difference. I interview people all the time. Why is the Common Sense Party going to be the one that actually succeeds, particularly in a difficult, controlled environment like California, where one party has dominated for essentially 50 years?
Well, TJ, we're not the answer to the national issue. We can be, and I believe we will be, the answer in California to breakthrough that hopefully people in other states will model. But we're not the answer nationally. But we want to make California the exemplary state for political organization that truly serves the people and can truly not just give lip service to these issues, but truly begin to deal effectively with the issues of income insecurity, housing insecurity, education insecurity, homelessness, environmental issues. There's so many major problems that California faces, but we have the opportunity here as the Common Sense Party to break through and be an example. These other parties, we hope to be a part of contributing with what we do here. We'll contribute to other parties who have similar principles, many of them, that we would consider ourselves allies. Hopefully they will break through in other states, and collectively, if enough parties get enough ballot lines in enough states, we can elect collectively between the party like SAM, Serve America Again, the Forward Party with Andrew Yang, the Alliance Party and others that are forming, that we can get ballot lines in 10 to 15 states and elect collectively from our 52 in California, for example. We want to elect one or two, get them into the House, and if these other states can contribute one or two, collectively we can get 10 to 15 members of the House of Representatives who are no longer a member of the D or the R. Then it doesn't matter which party the Ds or the Rs think they have the opportunity for control of the House of Representatives. They can't gain a majority without working through the coalition of these independent, what I'm referring to as multi-party democracies. That's how we can create a coalition with these other new parties to become that fulcrum in the House of Representatives. And if we can break through in any one of these states or two of these states with a senator, we can become a fulcrum also in the Senate. But if we break through in the House or the Senate, either one of those, we now can open up the process on the federal level. So we'll focus on California and let the other people focus on other states, but the collective impact that we can all have is dramatic at the federal level.
Very quickly, in California, as you focus here, it sounds as if you'll not only endorse candidates who assume the mantle of the Common Sense Party of California, but you may in fact endorse other candidates who meet the levels of integrity and so forth. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Oh, absolutely, TJ. That's one of the key differentiating points to us is, yes, as long as we don't have a Common Sense Party candidate truly there that we're running, and right now we don't have any because we're not a party yet, we will truly endorse and help level the playing field and get elected independent people who do carry those other labels. And that's a key thing that we wanted to do to help bring the rest of us into the process.
Well, Mike, in the limited amount of time we have left, where can our listeners go to learn more about you, your podcast Front and Center, and the Common Sense Party of California?
Well, first off, the Common Sense Party is quite simply go to our website, and it's CA, which obviously stands for California, but cacommonsense.org. That's our website. It's simple. It's not elaborate. We haven't done a lot there because, like I said, we're just the seed of this and trying to birth this new entity. We'll get more elaborate and we'll change as our membership comes aboard and adds their DNA to it. For the podcast, since there's so many entities called Front and Center when we launch, it's actually, if you Google it or on YouTube, we're on a number of the audio podcast services like Spotify, Apple, Red Chief, I think it's called. There's a couple other podcasts. And we're also on two other important platforms, one called Rumble and one called Locals. You can go to locals.com or Rumble. Those are non-algorithmic controlled platforms for independent people and thinkers and do not have any censorship. So we're on those two platforms as well. So look for us at Front and Center with Steve and Michael and listen to the principles in the first 9 episodes. And then the 10th episode is with Tom Campbell, where we do a more in-depth dive with Tom of the principles of the Common Sense Party. And let me leave one last thing there, TJ. I like to think of what we're doing instead of a party as we're creating a platform for political power for the rest of us so that we can get government on the side of the people and out of the hands of the special interests.
Michael Maxine, you're a busy guy. Thank you for sharing what the new Common Sense Party of California is about. It would be wonderful to have a viable alternative party in California, and I guess you could take that two ways and be right both times. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I wish you great success, not only with your new party, but with your podcast Front and Center with Steve and Michael as well. So, Mike, I hope you'll come back to report on the progress of both, and thank you again for joining me on Deconstructed.
Thank you, TJ. It's a pleasure to be here with you.